You came for criminals and every Pharisee. You came for hypocrites, even one like me. You carried sin and shame, the guilt of every man, the weight of all I've done, nailed into your hands. Oh, your love bled for me. Oh, your blood in crimson streams. Oh, your amazing grace, I've seen and tasted it. It's running through my veins, I can't escape its grip. In you my soul is safe, you cover
Amen, amen. I'm sure you look forward to the beautiful music every Sunday morning. Thank you once again, Daniel and Brad. Thank you for the introduction this morning to worship service. It's a joy to be with you this Mother's Day. My wife, Ann, and I had lovely mothers, very blessed mothers. They are now in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and their memory is a joy in our hearts. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once again. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of coming and worshiping you. My, how our hearts have been lifted up to your very presence already this morning, just as we contemplate the Savior, the Messiah, the one who came to give his life, to enable us to have life, to have eternal life and the forgiveness of all of our sins. What joy to come and rest in your grace. Know that you have graced us in a very precious way. And Father, we pray for the mothers who attend this worship service this morning. Oh, Father, that you would grace each one in a very, very special way this day. These things we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. As a mother, how would you like to have been the mother of the teenager Jesus? What would it have been like to have been the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ and have him in your home? How, have you ever thought about what it would have been like to have been his mother? Or what it would have been like to for him to have you as his mother? It's interesting as we look at the mothers in the Bible, and I have preached from numerous mothers in the Bible, we have more information about Mary, the mother of Jesus, than any other mother in the Bible. And no, we won't be able to look at all of the passages of Scripture nor to exegete them. But I find in the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ some beautiful characteristics of mothers. And as I reflect back upon my mother and the mother of my son and three daughters, I think of the characteristics of this mother who was the mother of the greatest man who ever lived. Let's look at some of these characteristics. And as A.T. Robertson once reminded us, it's not possible to consider Mary apart from Jesus, because he's the very epic center of everything we say about the Lord Jesus Christ and Mary. Mary was a very special person. She was chosen of God. God chose Mary for a very special task. The angel Gabriel approached Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 28 and 30 and said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." It's interesting when we look at this passage of Scripture that the word favor is actually the word grace. God has graced Mary. Mary was highly favored because God bestowed his special grace upon her that she might be the mother of the Messiah. And God did this without any special merit. She didn't come with special merits for God to choose her to be the mother of the Messiah. She was a teenager, just a lovely peasant girl in Nazareth, a girl whom God chose for a very special task. There's no suggestion of any particular worthiness on the part of Mary herself. She's merely the recipient of God's grace, God's favor, as he looked down upon this girl and chose her for a very special task. She's described as receiving grace, not endowed as a giver of the power of grace. She's a recipient of grace just like you and I are recipients of God's grace. Barclay translates, "God has chosen you for a very special privilege." And what was that privilege? We find in Luke chapter 1 in verses 31 through 33 that unique privilege that God had given to this chosen lady. Listen to these words. "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You have been graced by God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, Savior, because he is the salvation of the Lord. He's named after his father, Yehoshua. He is the anointed of the Lord God. He is the Savior. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. What a special blessing God gave to Mary. Mary has a very humble attitude as she listened to these words of Gabriel. Mary humbled herself in verse 29, and she was greatly troubled at this statement. She was greatly agitated, greatly perplexed. That God had chosen her to be the special person, to be the mother of the anointed of the Lord God. Why was she singled out for this blessing? Must be one of the thoughts that went into her mind. She has an attitude of reverence and fear of the Lord God. Mary was overwhelmed at God's condescending grace upon her. What a privilege, what an honor. And we think of mothers today, this day, that you have been graced of God, that you are a very special person because of the children that God has given to you. What a privilege, what an opportunity that is given to you this day. And with that same humble attitude that Mary had, to serve him, to minister in your own family of the graces that God has given to you. Mary was also a pensive thinker. She thought about what the angel was saying to her. She had an inwardness of disposition. She had wisdom. She had admirable self-control in her situation. Luke chapter 1, verse 29 tells us, Mary kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. Mary was a woman of depth. She asked all kinds of questions to Gabriel that day. In fact, she contested the whole idea that she would have a son and call his name Jesus. Her response to the angel was, hey, wait a minute. I'm a Parthenos. I'm a virgin in the full meaning of the Greek term. Mary was a woman of depth, and she was a woman of moral purity. Here's a woman who had kept her life pure until that day of matrimony. The virgin birth is the only intelligible explanation of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Here's the God-man, the Son of Mary in his humanity, the Son of God in his deity. What a blessing. What a privilege has been given to her. Mary's perpetual virginity is not implied in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. Joseph had full confidence that this son who would be born of Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And yes, as we read the scriptures, we find that Mary and Joseph had other children. Jesus had half-brothers and sisters. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55 tells us that his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, are the younger half-brothers of Jesus, the sons of Mary and Joseph. And after the virgin birth of Jesus, Joseph and Mary had normal marital relationships. High values, Mary held marriage in high esteem, and so did Joseph. Mark tells us that he had brothers and sisters. Each of the Gospels remind us that, no, these are not cousins of Jesus. These are his half-brothers and sisters. So Mary has received this special blessing of the Lord God to be the mother of the Messiah. She's humble in her attitudes as the angel speaks to her, pensive as he thinks about what all the responsibility that goes with this. And yes, she has kept herself morally pure. Mary was an obedient person. When we read Luke chapter 1, verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the bondservant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. He here is a woman who makes herself available to the Lord God. And when she understands the call of God upon her at this time, that in perfect surrender to the will of God, perfect submission to the will of God. Isn't it wonderful when we have mothers that are faithful to the Lord God, that when they understand God's call upon them, that they submit to God's will and serve Him? Mary was also devoted in her spiritual growth. When we turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, we find that Mary knew the Scriptures. She had a strong comprehension of the Word of God. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, she magnifies the Lord God in her song of praise. And it's interesting that in this passage of Scripture, her knowledge of 1 and 2 Samuel, the Psalms, Job, Isaiah, Genesis, Micah, is expressed in this passage of Scripture. Can you imagine Jesus sitting at the feet of Mary and memorizing these great passages of Scripture? She provided a home atmosphere for the Messiah. And Jesus memorized the Old Testament under the direction of His mother. Mary had an attitude of praise to the Lord God. And these verses reveal just how depth this woman had. Look at Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47. 46 tells us, and Mary said, here's his great song of praise to the Lord God. My soul exalts the Lord. My soul makes God great. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. And for behold, from this time on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And then she quotes Psalm 103, and His mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear Him. And He has done mighty deeds with His arm, and He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Here's a woman who knew the Scriptures, and she knew how to praise the Lord God. Mary's heart and soul are saturated with the promises of the Lord God and the precious prophecies regarding her son. Here's a mother who loved the Lord God and gave expression from the depths of her heart. Isn't it wonderful when our mothers teach us the Word of God? When our mothers lead us in worshiping Him, what a privilege, what an opportunity for mothers today who have small children can lead them in the study of the Word of God. Mary was a responsible mother. Remember when Joseph and Mary lost Jesus? I can picture that day when they have been to the Passover. And as every year, they fulfilled the law as a family. And then they have celebrated Passover, and they're headed back home. And they're a day into the journey, and they can't find Jesus anywhere. And I can just hear Mary right now saying to Joseph, well, I thought he was with you. And then they find Jesus, discover Jesus in the temple, sitting at the feet of the scribes, sitting at the feet of the divine masters, learning about the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God who would lift up and carry away the sins of the world. Jesus at Passover, his parents fulfilled the lessons of Passover. His parents fulfilled the law. Jesus sitting at the feet of a blessed mother. Jesus was obedient to his parents. In Luke chapter 2, interesting, after they have been to the Passover, they headed home. Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52. And he went down with them. He returned home with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them. Here is this 12-year-old young man during the time of his bar mitzvah. And he goes back home with his parents and in subjection to them. And his mother, bless his heart, his mother and the baby book. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. It's interesting from this point on as we look at the life of Mary, that Mary is kept in the background of all four of the Gospels, especially when the public ministry of Christ begins. And she can have no competition with Jesus. She can have no competition in his incarnate ministry. And she can have no competition with his ministry today. A mother, a humble mother, a faithful mother who was proud of her son. We go over to the beginning ministry of Jesus and King of Galilee in John chapter 2 and the first wedding. And we're told that Mary, the mother of Jesus, the disciples, the brothers, half-brothers of Jesus, all are attending this wedding. And John tells us, John chapter 2, and by the way, John never uses the name Mary. He says the mother of Jesus, the mother of our Lord. He doesn't use the personal name of Mary. And on the third day, there was a wedding. And this wedding probably had been going on all that week, the celebration of the wedding. The wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus also was invited, and his disciples, and verse 12 tells us his brothers too. And then we find Mary approaching Jesus and telling him, they have run out of wine. Did she know a secret that we don't know? She instructs the servants to do what he tells them to do, and of course Jesus provided the best wine the Cana of Galilee had ever had. Mary. Mary, proud of her son. You can see the bubbling joy as you read this passage of Scripture that Mary indeed is proud of her son that day. But we also have a concern, Mary. When we go over to Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, we find that the rumors are rampant at this time about Jesus and who he is, and even the people in Nazareth have turned against Jesus. Mary probably heard the rumors, the hostility, the hate toward Jesus. Jesus is teaching. Large crowds are gathered around Jesus at this time. And word has been sent to Mary to come check out her son to see if he's okay. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 tells us, and while he was still speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. And he responds, the response of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my mother, who are my brothers? And stretch out his hand to his disciples, he said, behold, my mother, my brothers. For whoever will do the will of the Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sisters and my mother. She was concerned. She was a concerned mother. She knew how to enjoy the presence of her son. She was a proud mother, responsible mother. But we also know that Mary was a hurting mother. From the very beginning, Luke chapter 2, at the dedication of Jesus in the temple, in chapter 2, we find that Simon in his prophecy. Luke chapter 2, verses 33 and 35 reminds us of the dagger that we thrust into our own heart. Luke chapter 2, verses 33, 35. And his father and mother are amazed. They're amazed at the things they've been told about their son. And Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, for a sign to be opposed, a sword," not a short sword. The word that's being used here is the Thracian javelin. A javelin. A javelin will pierce even your soul to the end that the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. Here was a prophecy, no doubt fulfilled a number of times in the life of Jesus and Mary. But we find the ultimate thrust of that sword when we go to John chapter 19. Mary was the only person who saw Jesus at his birth and at his death. Mary experiences the thrust of that javelin once again. As she stands there with John at the foot of the cross, his mother is standing there. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister and Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And said to his disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Can you imagine the mother of Jesus standing there, watching that javelin thrust through her own son and her own heart at the same time? Watching her son, who knew no sin, to die. To die as her Savior. To die as your Savior. To die as my Savior. None of the brothers of Jesus at this time accepted him. They rejected him until after the resurrection. And so here's Jesus with love and tenderness, turning the care of his own mother over to his beloved disciple, John. John is the one who would take her into her home, would take care of her in Jerusalem and later into Ephesus. A mother who is hurting. I probably speak to some mothers today who are hurting. You know the pain, you know the hurt. You know what it's like to go through the grief and hurt, pain, perhaps even rejection. Perhaps I speak to a single mother this day who, with all the crisis at hand in our day, you feel the pain, you feel the hurt of the hour. But God sustains you with his grace because you too are chosen mother. God has chosen you to be the mother of this son or this daughter. Or perhaps at this time you're rejoicing because your son or your daughter is graduating from the university this next week. Or a son or a daughter graduating from high school. Things that you can rejoice and praise God for. The last passage of Scripture where we find Mary in the Scriptures is in the upper room. She's there with the disciples. The ascension has taken place. Christ is risen from the dead. And we find that group of disciples in the upper room worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary worshiped her Lord and her Savior. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. The ascension has just taken place. The disciples returned to Jerusalem and from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. There was a continuous staying at this place. And that is Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew, Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And these were all of one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Isn't that beautiful? Here's Mary, the mother of Jesus, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, and now his brothers have come to a saving relationship with him. Wow. What a blessing. What an opportunity the Lord God has given to Mary. Mary, a sinner? Yes. Mary, a sinner saved by grace? Mary, a sinner who needs the same Savior that you need and I need? No, she was not sinless, but she was one who came to know her Son as the sinless Savior. Blessing upon blessing, yes. None of the scriptures talk about Mary being worshipped. It's always Mary worshipping him. Mary knew what it meant to love and let go. Perhaps I speak to some others today who are going through that experience of loving and letting go. And you know the pain, you know the difficulty of doing just that. Perhaps you are a mother who is yet to face it. You're in the middle of the crisis of having teenagers. And yes, the day will come when you too will need to hand these teens over to the Lord God and to his grace. Mary suffered excruciating pain. There's never been a Mother's Day sermon I've ever preached over these last 60 years that there weren't mothers who were hurting. Mothers going through grief, loss of a son or a loss of a daughter. Mothers who experience pain that none of us can describe. And yet, there is something in this passage of Scripture for us. Mary is a good model of what it's like to go through the heartache, the pain, the suffering as a mother. She found God's grace, and you can too. It's in time of excruciating pain and suffering that we experience God's presence as never before. Here's a mother. Here's a mother who is a beautiful example and model of motherhood. She received the grace of God, and you too have received the grace of God. She had a humble attitude toward herself and toward God. A pensive thinker, full of wisdom, morally pure, honoring the husband and family. She knew the scriptures, and she could express herself in the scriptures and encourage her family. She was concerned for her son in times of crisis, proud and overjoyed at having him as a son, a mother who needed a Savior, and worshiped him as Lord and Savior. I speak to mothers this morning who have been graced of God. God has poured out his grace abundantly upon you and has given you this privilege of being a mother. You're very special. You're chosen of God for this day to provide a home, a spiritual, emotional nourishment of guidance, wisdom, and love. Yes, you are a very special person. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come now and we thank you that indeed you are matchless. You are wonderful. Oh God, that we may have that same heart that Mary had of lifting up praise and adoration to you, because you are a great God. Thank you for mothers. Thank you for each of these mothers who listened to my voice this morning. Oh Lord, put your hand upon them. Minister to their specific needs right now, this very moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.